invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to a couple of passages that we have looked at in the past in various situations. Very short passages. James chapter 3, verse 1, and then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. As we think today about the student teacher. James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And in 2 Timothy 2:15. Excuse me, I had turned to the wrong spot. But you could probably quote it. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. We mentioned a few moments ago with the children that this is a time that students and teachers often look forward to, a time of vacation. Vacation from the daily tasks, and both of them have tasks, students and teachers. Tasks of preparation, tasks of teaching, tasks of doing homework and trying to pay attention during class. Tasks of preparation for teaching. Tasks that call us, even we who teach, to continue to be students. So vacation is coming. Most schools will be out by the end of this week. But Vacation Bible School is coming as well. Here, starting next Sunday evening. Time for preparation. Time for teaching. Time for studying. Time for learning together. Time to be students and time to be student teachers. Sometimes those times and those challenges are very daunting when we think about the Bible. Some folks say, I'm not worthy enough to do it. I don't know enough to teach it. What if I say something wrong? And then there are others who never take the time to prepare, and not just those who teach, but unfortunately many who preach, who take no time to really prepare and simply rehearse over and over again the same stories, the same lines, without any attempt to gain new insights and bring freshness to not only their understanding, but to the understandings of others. Sometimes that's done because we just feel like we don't have the time. Sometimes because we feel like we have inadequate resources. And by the way, we do have a church library, and there are plenty of things on the internet, and I will even loan out books from my library if you would like to borrow such. And sometimes it's because we're afraid of what might happen if we misstep, or perhaps even if we discover a new insight and dare to share it. A number of years ago, I gave an opening address for a professional organization of which I'm a part. And the very beginning of what I'm about to do comes from that particular address, addressing the ideas of being students and teachers and James chapter 3 verse 1 to be careful as such. Times were hard for the teacher. It seemed that everywhere he turned, people were after him. Though some of what he said was accepted when he spoke against the shallowness of theology that had developed around him but was popular among the people, he found himself in trouble. Some even set other preachers and religious authorities on him. One of the leaders came to him and demanded he either do what they wanted or he could look elsewhere for another job. The teacher responded that he knew that other areas and jobs might be more lucrative, but he had a calling which could in no way be ignored. And thus, the prophet Amos continued to challenge the people to seek deeper understandings of God and deeper relationships with Him. And the teacher was a prophet, and the prophet was a teacher, and he was always a student. Now a disclaimer here, lest anyone jump to a conclusion that somebody's been climbing my back and that's where this story came from. That's not true. Okay? Sometimes when you tell stories like that, people say, well, I wonder what. That's not true. But I use this story, as I did those many years ago, to remind us that we who teach have a calling. Whether that is to teach in the school system, to teach a Sunday school class, to teach vacation Bible school, or to teach our children at home. It is a calling. A calling which demands not only the best of what we can give, but the best of what we can get in preparation and study. So we come today as the end of the school year approaches, as students and teachers prepare to exit the classroom, and as vacation Bible school begins next week. We also come today remembering that each week we gather for Sunday school, a time of Bible study, and that the nominating committee is doing its work for the upcoming church year. And though some Sunday school classes will choose their own teachers, the nominating committee will also ask others either to teach or to assist. And I want to spend a few moments reflecting on that call to be students and teachers, and to be student teachers. Now, this brief verse from James chapter 3 has been used before. We've talked briefly about it in other venues. To be careful, not many of you should desire to become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for we know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. And it has been used by some to bail out of teaching Sunday school or vacation Bible school or teaching in colleges or high schools or other places. Maybe even teaching at home the things that our children need. However, I would contend that, and I recognize that this verse begins a passage on the use of the tongue, which contains a lot of negative things about the use of the tongue. I think it presents a challenge and an expectation to us, regardless of where we teach, whether it's at home or in a classroom. It's a challenge for continuing that call in an even more urgent fashion than we often do. The warning here seems to be more for those who would approach teaching, I think, in a lighthearted fashion. Taking an approach that is lighthearted toward teaching, or, well, you know, I can always do that later. It's only a group of, and you fill in the blank, can be seen oftentimes in a lack of preparation, which can lead to harm. Harm not only for our listeners, but harm to us, because we're not learning as well. We need to remind ourselves regularly of the seriousness, not only of teaching, but of preparing our teaching. Whether it is our daily Bible reading with our family at home, whether it is preparation for vacation Bible school and teaching those lessons, whether it is preparation for Sunday school each Sunday, or for teaching in a college classroom, we need to remind ourselves that this is a serious calling. We don't always have to be serious in our approach when we teach, but it is a serious calling. Gordon Petit writes, "The teacher and the preacher deal with the most precious thing in the world, human personalities. And any mishandling or misdirecting of those persons entrusted to their care will bring upon them heavy condemnation." James warns us to be careful about forgetting our responsibilities as teachers, to handle with care those children, those adults, and the text, because all of them need to be handled with care if we are to truly teach. This verse also brings about serious reflection, I think, on the responsibility for finding good teachers and the need to have good teachers, and that those who would be teachers must do so with a commitment to study and reflection, being good students before ever teaching. In fact, some of you teach. You teach in the school system, whether it is in elementary, middle school, high school, or college. And before you could teach, what did you have to do? Take too many classes, right? You had to study and prepare yourself. And you had to get past, in most cases, just a simple cursory reading of that which you were to study. It took serious preparation for you to be prepared, for you to grow to the point of being able to share with others. So we must be good students. Even the prophets were good students. They were good students of theology, they were good students of history, and they were good students of the politics of their day. A good teacher, just like the teachers of old, will be students of history, of politics, of social issues, of morality, and for us, most importantly, of God's revelation through the biblical text, and God's revelation through commentaries and other books about the biblical text. And then good teachers will take the task of being good students, which makes us better at teaching. The writer of 2 Timothy reminds us that a part of that preparation to teach and a part of our teaching, whether it's as a preacher or as someone who teaches in vacation Bible school or someone who teaches your children at home, the writer reminds us that one of the most important tasks is to study and handle correctly. Literally, the word means to cut straight the word of truth. As I said a few moments ago, it's not just meant for preachers, although far too many in our vocation have forgotten this part of the call, to handle properly and correctly the word of truth. But we are all to study diligently to present our best understandings not only to those we teach, but to God. Morgan Noyes in the Interpreter's Bible states, "The common ways in which it is easy to handle the word of truth shamefully are obvious. To neglect the word of God and treat it casually. To seek comfort in the Word and ignore its challenges. To try to make it say only what we want to hear rather than to be receptive to God's message." In other words, to handle the Word of truth properly is a difficult undertaking, even in our daily Bible study. Because how often do we, in our individual Bible studies, sit and read through the text quickly without taking time to seriously reflect or let God speak to us? Some of these, and it may be a way to get people to read through the Bible and read things they'd never read in the past or even in the future, left to themselves. But some of these read through the Bible in 90 days. Or read through the Bible. I heard one read through the Bible in 6 weeks. That does not afford you the opportunity to understand and reflect and be good students of the text. It's an essential task for us to truly listen and learn and not handle the Word casually, but regularly with a sense of expectation. And when we find those fresh insights, if we are to be true to the calling that God gives us, we are to share them with others. We're not to hoard them. It's just like we're not to hoard the good news to ourselves. We're to share it with other people so they can know it. It's the same thing with insights we gain from the Bible. We're to share those with others so that they too can at least have the opportunity to think about it, to reflect upon it, and possibly learn and grow. The greatest example of our searching and the roles of the student teacher, as we mentioned to the children earlier, is seen in Jesus. Jesus, who studied even as a child in the temple. He was there studying with the rabbis, and he was studying the Bible of his day in Judaism, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. And we find often in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says, "And he was found in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom." And he wasn't there just to preach. And he wasn't there just for the special high holy days. And he wasn't there just to confront those who did not agree with him or who tried to straitjacket the people religiously. He went as a student, hearing what others had to say, learning from their understanding, and reflecting upon the Bible. This led him to challenge others to seek those new understandings of God, to be free in their pursuit of God's reality and truth, and to grow through study and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The same is true for us today as we seek to grow and to share those things that the Spirit reveals to us, as we seek to be good students as well as teachers. And while, by the way, most of this seems to be focused on those who will teach, whether it's in Sunday school or Vacation Bible School or other places, it's also a challenge for we who sit and listen as the student, that we hear and prepare so that we too can share with others in the workplace, at school, at home, or even in church. Hans Kuhn, German theologian, writes about letting the Spirit lead us in understanding the Bible. "The Spirit will teach us nothing new, but all that Jesus taught and did, the Spirit will manifest in a new light, in a new age, in the face of new situations and new experiences. Only in this way will the truth of Jesus Christ become freshly clear and intelligible in its meaning for today." Only when we truly study and listen to the Spirit. And so the call and the responsibilities for we who are students and teachers are to study faithfully, to deepen our relationship with God, and to challenge others in our teaching to look deeper themselves, searching for God and for God's truths. Being student teachers demands our best in faith and love, not only for our work, but for those whom we teach, and for those from whom we can learn. It is to this that one of my favorite poets Khalil Gibran writes in The Prophet, "The teacher who walks in the shadow of the temple among his followers gives not of his wisdom, but rather of his faith and his lovingness." His faith and his lovingness. Faith and lovingness for the text. Faith and lovingness for God. Faith and lovingness for those whom she or he will teach. This makes our teaching not something to fear. But if we do our preparation well, something worthwhile and something out of which we grow. So while the summer may be a time of vacation from the public schools or private schools, it is not vacation time from church, from Sunday school, from vacation Bible school, and more so, it is not vacation time from our own personal study of God's Word and of God's call. So, as you are asked to consider being a teacher, either by a Sunday school class or the nominating committee, or as you are asked to prepare to teach in vacation Bible school, be prayerful. Become prepared and preparers, and diligently share the call to be students and teachers of the grace and the greatness of God's kingdom. May we pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for giving us the opportunities that we have to study, to learn, and to share. Help us to be faithful to that call, to be students and teachers, and students once again, so that not only will we grow, but others may grow as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is number 415. We are called to be God's people. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, a public decision for Christ, a decision to become part of this fellowship and minister from here, or a decision to recommit yourself to be good people of God, studying, learning, and sharing. Number 415, we are called to be God's people.